So, triple integrals, but not over boxes. I have this tetrahedron. I will attempt to make some kind of a sketch of it. Let's see here. Book. X, Y, Z, something like this. I think it might be good for me to have the y-axis kind of pointing kind of toward that way, kind of into the board for this one. That's the back face of the pyramid, or back faces. Okay. So this is a triangular pyramid, a tetrahedron. It's got two vertical faces, XZ and YZ planes. It's got a horizontal face in the XY plane, and then it's got a slanted face where X plus Y plus Z equals 2. Okay. And I have this density formula, which says that if you're at the top of the pyramid, say that Z equals 2, the density is 0. So it's really light and fluffy material up there, I guess. But as you get lower, the lower levels are thicker. Or not thicker, they're denser, right? They're heavier, whatever you want to call it. The density goes all the way to 2 when you get down to level Z equals 0. Okay, now maybe it's not obvious to you that the corners of this tetrahedron are actually where I say they are. We can talk about that. That is going to be the hardest thing in general, is correctly understanding the boundaries of the region. Before we get to that, let's say what exactly this average value business is asking for. Right? What does this mean? We need to find the integral of this quantity y squared z squared times the density times the volume of little tiny boxes. So I'm just going to write that as dm. Say a little bit more about that in a minute. And then we're going to divide by the total mass. So this is a weighted average. The idea is, imagine cutting up this triangular pyramid into a bunch of teeny tiny boxes. For each box that you take out of the pyramid, this little tiny brick, you put it on the scale, you measure its mass, you multiply that mass by y squared plus z squared, based on whatever the y and z values are for the original location of that brick before you pulled it out and put it on the scale, right? Okay. So you're going to multiply the y squared plus z squareds for each little tiny brick, times the mass of each brick, add all that up, and then divide by the total mass of this pyramid. And that will tell you the average value of y squared plus z squared. Now, why would anybody care about that? Well, the motivation is from physics. I love physics, so I can't deny it. There's a rotational analog of mass. Mass is a measure of how hard it is to accelerate something. And in the rotational version, the question is, how hard is it to make it spin faster or spin slower about an axis? And what you have to do is you have to measure the this numerator is actually called the moment of inertia in physics. And so what this is the square distance to the x-axis. So the physical motivation would be you're trying to measure what is the essentially average squared distance to the x-axis. That gives you information about how hard it is to spin something like this. So the fancy term for this average would be the square of the radius of gyration. But physics aside, can we do the integral at all? Mm-hmm. Two integrals. If we can set up the boundaries correctly, then we can plug it all into the calculator and it'll be no sweat. If we can't set up the boundaries correctly, we probably won't be able to do the integral either on paper or by hand, or on our calculator. I guess paper, by hand, same thing.
Yeah. Okay. So, how can we set this up? That's the question. First off,
just looking at this definition here I gave of the region, how can you turn these inequalities into boundary equations? There's four inequalities here. X is at least 0, Y is at least 0, Z is at least 0, and X plus Y plus Z is at most 2.
Four inequalities. So what are the four boundary equations? Right? You take things to the very edge of those inequalities, right?
It'll be, I guess, if you see it from here, like a pyramid.
Yeah.
But what if you didn't see it? What if all you saw was this, because I didn't give you a picture? What could you do with just this definition?
What would be, just from those four inequalities, how do you get four boundary equations, right? Okay, let me put, if I said 4 is less than or equal to x is less than or equal to 5, the boundaries would be 4 equals x and x equals 5, right? You push the inequality all the way to an equal sign.
Okay, so the boundaries here are x equals 0, right? Also, y equals 0. Right? Just turn each inequality into an equation. Okay. So you have, in this case, they're all linear equations, so they're all planes. You have four planes that bound your region.
Now, because you have some vertical and horizontal planes, they're not all slanted, you can actually do a rectangular slicing strategy and it won't be that terrible. You won't have to break it up into several pieces like with the completely slanted triangle double integral. We can just write this integral as one triple integral with rectangular slicing. So, let's see what we can do about this. We have to decide, I guess, in which order we're going to do the slicing.
Okay. Let's say first we, like before, we make a slice of some thickness dx. So we're going to pick out a particular x value. Now maybe you don't have the picture in your mind, but even if you didn't have the picture, we could still understand what's going on, right? What can x be? You know that x has to be at least 0, and on the other hand, x plus y plus z is at most 2. What's the biggest x could be?
2.
Yeah. Now, there could have been something tricky where maybe, you know, x is 5, y is negative 1, and z is negative 2, and that adds up to 2. But I prevented that by making y and z both be not negative, right?
So on the one hand, we have zeros at most x. Now on the other hand, if you take the three equations where, on the one hand, well, solve this equation. I guess take that equation. Rearrange it, right? X is less than or equal to 2 minus y minus z, right? Solve that for x. And combine that with the other equations that we have. I guess turn these around. 0
is less than or equal to y, you could turn that around and say that negative y is less than or equal to 0, right? And so is negative z, right? Because y and z are not allowed to go negative, therefore their inverses or their opposites are not allowed to go positive. So you put all that together, and this says that, yeah, x is at most 2. Now, you might be a little worried, how do I know it can get all the way to 2? Well, you can plug in something. Okay. You can check that 0, 0, 0 and 2, 0, 0 are really in this tetrahedron. So you can just plug in the numbers and check. Those do satisfy the equations. So yes, it really can go all the way from 0 to 2. But we can see that even purely algebraically, with no picture in our minds, it can't go further than 2. Okay, so if we slice with x first, then that means a triple integral of something times a dx, dy, dz. With this slicing strategy, we're going to have x go from 0 to 2, and then we'll have something inside that. Two more integrals inside that, right? Integrated dx, I guess. What have I not said here? I forgot to write down what I said earlier about the dm. Dm is just, by definition, it's the density times the volume, right? So 2 minus z times dx dy dz. Okay. All right, anyways, okay, back to the slicing problem. Within a slice. Now we're within a slice, right? So maybe now we can kind of turn the picture around. Forget about x for the moment. Think about our bound. Y and Z. Think about Y and Z.
Zero to 2.
Okay.
Do they both have 0 to 2 boundaries?
So some things with the boundaries are going to be irrelevant now. Like this boundary about 0 equals X. Now we don't care about that because we already picked an X value. But this boundary and this boundary and this boundary are still important, right?
Okay.
So, yeah, we have y equals 0. I guess that's right there. And then z equals 0 is along here. And then the third one, x plus y plus z equals 2. We need to solve that for y. Y is less than or equal to 2 minus x minus z. Okay. Now that's not good enough. What's wrong with me just having an upper y limit of 2 minus x minus z? What's wrong with that? Well, I have an x value. I've made a slice at some x, so x is just some number. I don't have a z value. That's the problem. I haven't sliced at a z level yet. So that doesn't actually tell me what's going on. We can, however, take this thing here. Remember, z is at least 0. So you can write this as, negative z is at most 0 in here. So you can put these together and say that y is at most 2 minus x
plus 0, so 2 minus x. And that tells you the range of all possible y slices. If we make z as low as possible, then we can get a y slice at y as high as 2 minus x. So in my picture here, here's I guess x plus y plus z equals 2. And so the question is, basically we're looking at right here. That's the most y could be. That's when you make a particular y slice, that's the furthest you could slice. And of course the minimum is easier. So we can make y slices, right, anywhere from 0 to 2 minus x.
Okay. Thinking in terms of the picture you should have is we sliced a triangle out of the tetrahedron, and then within that triangle, we're making a slice that, with this choice, y horizontal and z vertical, we're making a vertical slice, right, along some particular y value. And the left end of this triangle is y equals 0. The right end is at 2 minus x, which depends on where I sliced x already. Right. If x is really close to 2, you get a teeny tiny triangle. If x is near 0, you get a bigger triangle. Okay, so now we're slicing within the triangle. Okay.
Questions or comments about that?
This little leftover piece, right? You made your slice at an x, you made a slice at some y value, and now the only question left is, what is the range of z values within which we could make a slice here? Okay. This was a slice of thickness dy, or width dy. And the final slicing would be to cut it up into little tiny bricks, and we measure the mass of each piece. And really, technically, you know, it's actually going out, you know, like this. You know, there's also a dx in play. But, yeah. Anyways, what is the minimum z level?
Zero.
Zero.
And what is the maximum z level?
Y minus 2 minus y.
It's got to depend on x, right? Because we, you know, how high z can go depends on x and y, doesn't it?
So it's 2 minus x minus y?
Yeah. I mean, technically, you don't need to draw another picture. It's actually right here. Z min, z max.
What question? Mm-hmm. What about the very top of the pyramid? It will be 2, right?
Yes. If x and y are sliced at a number really close to 0, then z can go to a number really close to 2. So, yes, z can get as high as 2. So if you had chosen to slice at z levels first instead of x levels first, you would have had just a z range of 0 to 2, and then you would have ended up with more complicated formulas for, say, the x range, right? Yeah. But yes, in all of these cases, y can be as big as 2, z can be as big as 2, and x can be as big as 2. It's just because we have to slice one variable at a time, one variable gets an easy range of just numbers, and then the further deeper into the integral we go, the more complicated the formula is for where does the slicing end, right? Where's the top z level?
Other questions?
So, yeah. If you have an accurate picture in your mind of what the shape is, that's good. It really helps. You have an intuition for what's going on. Even if you don't have a picture, you can reason just purely in terms of these algebraic inequalities and get the correct limits. Right. Okay, so we put all this together, and what we got was, if you do some integral like this, it has to be, with our slicing strategy, something where x goes from 0 to 2, and within an x slice, y goes from 0 to 2 minus x, and within a y slice of an x slice, z goes from 0 to 2 minus x minus y. So that's how we can do any integral we want over this tetrahedron. Now we can plug in whatever function we want. Okay. So the the integral of that, say just you want the mass of the tetrahedron given the density function. So that's just that's the density 2 minus z times the volume of each little piece. So that would be 0 to 2, 0 to 2 minus x, 2 minus y minus, 2 minus x minus y, and then 2 minus z, dz, dy, dx. The other integral we wanted, we had a y squared plus z squared times the dm. So that would be same limits, same slicing because it's the same region, just a different function in the middle here. So now if you want to do this on your calculator, it's going to be an integral inside an integral inside an integral. And then another integral inside an integral inside an integral, right? Inner, middle, outer. And if you want, you can put lots of parentheses to remind yourself what is inside what. Okay. Let's see if we can actually do this. So my calculator, A and I do the integral symbol 3 times right at the beginning. And then I'm going to have to type in the function in this case. First one is just 2 minus z. And then I have, and then I do comma z, comma 0, comma 2 minus x minus y, close parentheses, and then I'd have to do the next one, so I'd do comma y, comma 0, comma 2 minus x, close parentheses. And then finally, for the outermost integral, I tell it, okay, comma x, that's for the dx, comma 0, comma 2, the x limits. And on the inspires, you know, you don't have to worry about all the parentheses and commas so much. It's more a graphical input. You just put all the right things in the right boxes. Okay. Let's see here. And if you did it right, you should get a number. So according to my calculator, the mass of the pyramid is 2. And then multiply by the y squared plus z squared. My calculator is thinking a little longer, I guess. So this really shouldn't be that hard. Anyways, okay. It gives a slightly more impressive looking answer. 64/45. Okay. So put these two together. And the average of y squared plus z squared would be 64/45 divided by 2. So 32/45. And that would be the answer. All right. I can pass my calculator around if you want to see what incantations I took in there. Anyone interested? You've seen enough. Okay. All right.
So the second equal to 30 equal, that's what we put in the calculator, right?
Right. Right. I mean, the calculator is not going to understand the stuff about M and V, right?
So after that is V.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, the density is the 2 minus z.
Do we have to plug in more parentheses?
I mean, I don't think more parentheses hurt. These parentheses here, I didn't need per se. I mean, my calculator, it for each integral I type in, it automatically gives me the opening parenthesis, and I have to close it. So, okay, I guess I need those. I didn't need parentheses around the 2 minus z, I guess. And when I typed it in,
that
was kind of
odd. Do you need parentheses and just for each integral?
You should really look at what I typed in.
Yeah, because it's the same.
It's
exactly the same.
I mean, it's going to be error prone to try and verbally explain. Right?
Yeah, I got a 2.
You got a 2.
Did I do right?
For this one, I got a 2.
Okay.
So.
Oh, okay.
I did it backwards.
Thank you. tough thing. I'd like to do a second exam. Okay, here's another one. Is just the region, but I can use a different letter. N. Okay. Find the integral over that region N of x times y times z times the volume of each of your tiny pieces. So this time you're cutting it up into tiny bricks. You take the volume of each brick and you remember, okay, what was the position of that brick before I grabbed it? Multiply the coordinates x, y, z, multiply by the volume, add it up over all your tiny bricks, take the limit of tiny bricks towards a diameter 0, and you have an integral which you can get with your antiderivative formulas, if you can figure out the limits of integration. If not, then, yeah, not so easy. Okay, so I haven't given you a picture this time. But I have given you a precise definition. Right? I want all the points that where 0 is less or equal to x, is less or equal to y, is less or equal to z, is less or equal to 1, and no other points. Okay? That's the stuff in the region N. So maybe you don't know what this looks like, but you have four inequalities. That gives you four boundary equations, right? Zero equals x, x equals y equals z, and z equals 1. What kind of shapes are those boundaries? What would 0 equals x be, right? Y and z can be whatever you want, but x has to be 0. What kind of shape is that? No, it's not a line because y and z are both free, right?
This is a plane.
Because
x is zero. So if I don't know, whichever way, if x points that way, then you're saying, okay, don't go too far this way, but you can go, you know, however far in the z direction or the y direction you want, right? These are all planes, actually. They're all linear equations. One linear equation in three variables makes a plane, not a line. These are all planes. So this is another tetrahedron. It's the region inside four planes. It's just harder to see it, but you know. So okay, 0 equals x would kind of be this plane over here. That plane, and then x equals y, that's another vertical plane. Okay, so you imagine kind of the diagonal x equals y. So that would be but z can go as high or as low as you want, right? That's supposed to be a 2. And then y equals z.
Okay, that's not vertical, right? Because z has to match y. X can be anything you want, though.
So it can go to the left. Y has to match z. So think of it like this. So it's kind of a slanted plane like this, coming back there. Slanted and in the back, right?
And then the
fourth one would just be the top level of a thing, so okay, so kind of at the top, right? So you can make a picture of this if you really want to,
but it's also possible to just do the algebra.
So I guess if I put this all together, I'd get something like this. It's got two vertical faces kind of in the front. It's got a horizontal face on the top. And then there's a slanted face 3 that's on the back that you can't see from this angle or this viewpoint. So it is a tetrahedron, right? Let's say we slice it up. What is the lowest x could be? 0. What's the highest x could be? 1. Right? If you make y and z really close to 1, then x can be really close to 1. You can have all three really close to 1. Okay? And then given an x, so if I tell you, okay, x has got to be 0.3 or whatever, because that's where I sliced it, tell me, what's the lowest y can be?
0.
No.
No.
Because I picked my x. Once I pick the x, then that constrains y more than before. So I picked my x, now y has to be at least as high as x. And what's the most y can be?
1.
Yeah, we haven't picked a z yet. So I could still take z to be really close to 1, and then I could get y to be following right behind z, also really close to 1. Right? I could even have y and z still be exactly 1. Okay? Okay, but finally, given x and y now, what
is the range of z's that I'm still allowed, right? Y to 1.
Very good, yeah.
So, at first you haven't picked anything, so x can be anything between 0 and 1. Then, after you pick an x, y has to be between that x and 1. And after you've picked also a y, z has to be between that y and 1. So, if you slice first with x, then with y, then with z,
then that's how you decide which to do first.
Oh, or I could have done it. I could have done it with z first and then x and then y if I wanted to. Yeah. Right? You can do it in any of the six orders. All right, and you'll still be able to do it. It's not. I don't think it's really any harder in one of the other five orders. But
okay. So, what does this tell us then? Well, I've taken pictures of all the first three boards, so to speak. This is board number 4. This is board number 5. Okay. Needs to go a little lower. Okay. Okay.
So, first, pick an x. Anything from 0 to 1.
Okay. Maybe this is step 1.
And we go inside to step 2. Pick any y between x and 1. And then finally at step 3, we slice within that. Pick any z between y and 1. And what are we actually integrating? We're integrating x, y, z. And what is that? I suppose I can do the inner one by hand. In the inner one, x and y are constants. So you just get xy times 1 minus y squared over 2. Then the next one is a little more work. The x is still a constant multiple, but now you have to...
Yeah.
You have to expand the square, which is, you know, not fun, but oh well. Okay. Y minus 2y plus y cubed after I multiply everything in this expanded square by y. So I'm going to have x over 2 times 1 minus x squared over 2 minus... That's a y squared. Minus 2/3 times 1. Oh, wait. I got that. And I didn't even do that right. It's 1. Yeah. Sorry. There. Okay, the innermost integral is that. You take the square and divide by 2, right, because of the z squared over 2 antiderivative, and then you plug in 1 and y. Mm. Anyways, you probably just want to do it on the calculator, but... If you did it by hand, it would start out like this.
That would just be the innermost one. They'd have to integrate that, and then integrate that.
Professor.
Yeah.
Where did you get the z? Where's the z?
Which z?
Like one minus y.
Hmm.
For the integral.
This one?
Yeah, the z.
I said integrate x times y times z.
So it's z squared plus 1.
Yeah.
All right. This is 137. And then we really got to quit. It's 1221. All right.